Again, good morning to you and Merry Christmas. It's a delight to worship with you this morning. We tried to make sure we handed out to the kids an insert. It's the same as the adults, but for the kids, five words is what you're looking for throughout the sermon, and they should be pretty simple to find because they'll be on the screen. And we've also simplified that for adults today because it's kind of a whirlwind kind of a day. So we're going to do that. And the key word for our Christmas Day service, this is word number one, by the way. The key word for our Christmas Day service is fulfillment. Fulfillment is the theme of what we're going to be talking about in our time this morning. This word, fulfillment, implies something that has been completed, realized, or accomplished. The dictionary defines fulfillment as the state or quality of being fulfilled or completed. So kind of giving you a backdrop of kind of the idea of what this word means. And maybe to place it in the context of Christmas, I probably think that many of you, or I think that many of you have ordered or did order Christmas presents online, and you anticipated your orders being fulfilled. You ordered them, and you were hoping they would be received. The order would be received, it would be packed, it would be shipped, and arrive on time. Otherwise, you're going to have a post-Christmas present. And so you understand the idea of fulfillment. Something that's completed in a certain time frame is what we're looking for. And I love the fact that today as God's people, we celebrate the incredible fulfillment we know as Christmas. And we get to celebrate it on a Sunday. Yay, come on. Woohoo! Yeah, Nick and I didn't talk about that, but I guess we're going to be this. That is. We get to celebrate the fulfillment of Christmas on Sunday. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to have you turn with me to two verses in the book of Galatians. So Galatians chapter 4, if you'd like to use your pew Bible, you can do that. If you have a copy of God's Word, Galatians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 4 and 5 in just a moment. As you get there, I'd love to have you leave your Bibles open. We're going to be referring to these two verses as, again, we talk about the concept or the theme of fulfillment. Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse number 4. The Apostle Paul writes this, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." So as we consider the fulfillment of Christmas, we start with the idea of timing, and here's the second word for the insert. The second word is when. We're going to talk about the when of the fulfillment, and it goes along with the first part of that verse where it says, "When the set time had fully come." There's timing in this fulfillment, very important timing. As I was thinking back to this idea of when of fulfillment, I was thinking back to my own childhood, growing up as it relates to Christmas. And I remember that during my childhood, for my sister and myself, timing was really important to us when it came to Christmas. And so we would kind of talk with each other on Christmas Eve, and we had kind of talked about the time that we would get up and get mom and dad up and get everything going. And it was a lot earlier than we normally would get up, but we were so excited, and we had a hard time going to sleep. And so we had it all planned out, and you know, parents kind of caught wind of that. So we kind of informed them of that on Christmas Eve, but then they also informed us of some very strict time parameters. They said to my sister and myself, "We don't care when you wake up, but you will not come in and wake us up or go downstairs until this set time." I mean, it was, and like, you have a clock in your room, right? Yes. "This is the time you're allowed out." So just so you know, that was a pretty yearly thing when we were little. But I also know that we eagerly awaited that time. I remember year after year getting up so early and then just looking at the clock. And it would go so slow. But then the time would come. The time had fully come and we could go downstairs. And we were so excited. Like, what does it have to do with this verse? Everything. Because when Jesus Christ arrived on this earth almost or over 2,000 years ago, he brought to completion the set time that had been spoken of for hundreds of years by the prophets. The time had come. People were watching their sand things, you know, sand hourglasses. There we go. They were watching those things and year after year. And the time had fully come for them to anticipate. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, he writes this in relationship to the birth of Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So the set time had fully come. The when of fulfillment had come. Also keep in mind that the arrival of Christ set in motion the first gospel prophecy found in Genesis 3:15. Way back then. You can go back and read it later on. Genesis 3:15 is the first gospel prophecy. And when Christ came at that set time, it set in motion the fulfillment of that prophecy. So these verses are so powerful because they start us off with the when of fulfillment, that the time had fully come. But not only the when of the fulfillment, but also the next word is this, the how of the fulfillment. The how, as we continue in these verses, you look at these three phrases with me. The how, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The how of Christmas fulfillment is described in the incarnation. God divinely intervenes and sends his only son, Jesus. Isn't that what it says? God sent his son. Jesus sends God as the pre-existent one. Out of heaven to earth on a mission. Jesus is sent as deity, fully God. That's the how of the fulfillment. Let me share with you what Timothy Keller notes about the incarnation. He says this, I've become convinced that what makes the difference for Christianity is the incarnation. No other faith says God became flesh. Christmas and the incarnation mean that God went to infinite lengths to make himself one whom we can know personally. So it's not just the when, but it's the how that God divinely intervenes and sends his son. But then it says, born of a woman. The how of Christmas also included the humanity of Jesus. Jesus came not only as deity, but also as humanity. He was born of a woman. And that how is important, as we shall see. So Jesus arrives as fully God, fully man, but then the how of the fulfillment is concluded by describing that Jesus was born under the law. What that means is that Jesus' humanity allowed him to be born a Jew under the law, and his deity perfectly fulfilled the law. Keep this in mind, that phrase, born under the law, may seem strange to us, but only human beings are born under the law, and we'll describe that in just a moment. And only a human being could redeem other human beings born under the same law. So Jesus needed to come to be that fulfillment. Born of a woman, born under the law, but also sent by God. So the how of fulfillment is critical. How Jesus comes is critical because of the next part of the fulfillment. The when has happened, the how has happened, but then we get to the why of the fulfillment. We see again that Jesus came, how he came, born of a woman, sent by God, and the why of the fulfillment really is, why did he come? Why is this timing so important? Why is it so important that he has been sent as God, the God-man, in the flesh? Well, you look at the next phrase in these verses. The why of the fulfillment is to redeem those under the law. And if you want to keep this in the back of your mind, the word those, that's us. That's us, to redeem those under the law. Every person in this room, every person watching online is born under the law of God and guilty of disobeying the law. Every single one of us. That's an uh-oh. Thanks for the signs. The kids still have them. Thanks for letting them keep those, Nick. That's great. So every person here, including myself, is born under the law, and we are guilty of violating the law. So we all need the why of the fulfillment. We all need to be redeemed as people under the law. Why? Because redeemed means to buy a debtor's price, to pay a debtor's price, to buy a debtor's freedom. And in our case, in my case, guess what? I was not free. I was bound to sin. I was in a debt of sin. And I needed the why of this fulfillment, not only for Jesus to come at a certain time and to come in a certain way, but also with a certain purpose, the why of fulfillment to redeem those under the law. Only a perfect human, the God-man, Jesus Christ, could perfectly keep the law and then perfectly fulfill the law and thereby redeem us from that guilt. You understand? That's the only way it could happen. You can't die for my sins. I can't die for your sins. We could support each other. We could sacrifice for each other, help each other out. But you know what? We can't take care of each other's sin problem. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And he could only do that as God and man. Perfectly. The why. This is why he came. The why of Christmas fulfillment describes our greatest need, the forgiveness of sins, and how Christ accomplished this for us. That's the why, the wonder of this. But there's one more part of this word fulfillment. Not just the when and the how and the why. The last part of it is found in the last part of verse 5, and it highlights the what of Christmas fulfillment. The what. Because Christ came, notice what happens when we place our faith in him as our Savior, in addition to being forgiven of our sins. The last part of verse 5, that we might receive adoption to sonship. That we might receive adoption to sonship. The what of Christmas fulfillment is when, listen to this, is when the adopted child, because you know Jesus was adopted, when the adopted child becomes the one who would die so that we could become spiritually adopted. That's what took place. That is the what happens when we come to faith in Christ. And I also want to remind you that spiritual adoption is costly. It costs Jesus Christ his life for our sins as the innocent sacrifice for us. What happens when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and we become spiritually adopted? What happens? Some really cool stuff. And in the Roman culture in which this was written, Galatians chapter 4, they would have understood some of this. And for us, it sometimes gets kind of escaped in our culture. But here's some just incredible things. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we get a new name. We get a new name. We become followers of Christ. That's a new name, and it's been watered down, but we become Christians. And just in case you didn't know, not everyone's a Christian, popular word, but we get a new name when we're spiritually adopted. We also get a new family. We become a part of the family of God. And in that culture, that was really important. We also get a new home. Remember, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We get a new home when we're spiritually adopted, a new name, a new family, a new home. We get new privileges. In the first century, in Roman adoption, if you were adopted into a family, any of your debts that you brought in with you were completely erased and paid for. You came in with a clean slate. That's wonderful. Because in the Roman culture, they didn't really adopt babies. They adopt grown, teenagers or grown men or women, especially men, because if they didn't have an inheritance, a person, an heir, they would adopt somebody. But any debts that they brought with them were completely taken care of. Praise God that when you're spiritually adopted in Christ, he erases all your debts. So you have some new privileges. You have this debt erase. You also were given, if you were adopted in that culture, you were given free and complete access to the Father. Just like we have. Free access to the Father. So this is the fulfillment of Christmas. Not just the timing, it's wonderful. Not just how he came and why he came. But when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? We become spiritually adopted. The Son came on behalf of the Father to adopt sons and daughters into his family. This is the fulfillment of Christmas. I know it was just 5 words, but praise God that it actually happened. And the good news is, it's still happening today. What I mean by that is, the fulfillment of Christmas that took place 2,000 years ago is still changing lives today. So maybe you're sitting in here because you came with somebody and they made you come because it was Christmas. Or maybe you're watching and you're still not sure about this whole embracing Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm just here to tell you, He's still changing lives today, and He would love to change your life and rescue you from your sin just like He rescued me and other people here. We're no better. We're just sinners saved by grace, and God extends that invitation. Because nothing's going to be delivered late. The fulfillment has happened. The time has fully come. So I would invite you, if you've never done that, to have that conversation with somebody about you embracing the fulfillment of Christmas found in Jesus Christ. And as we finish today, and I send you on your way, I also want to remind many of you in this room and many of you watching online, if you have come to Jesus Christ and accepted that spiritual adoption, let's try to live as sons and daughters of God. We have privileges, but we also have a few responsibilities. As we go out and represent God in this world, let's live as responsible sons and daughters of God. And also remind people that spiritual adoption is still available for them. We need to be informing people of spiritual adoption. That's a good thing. Pastor Nick is going to come and close us in prayer. As he does that, our worship team is going to come, and then we're going to finish with one song, and you will be dismissed.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just marvel at your scripture. We just marvel at the fact that right when sin entered this world, back in first chapters of Genesis, Genesis 3:15, you had a plan for us. You had a plan laid out for redemption, and you promised that your Son would come. And as Scripture unfolded, God, we just see more and more scripture that needed to be fulfilled that happened when your Son, Jesus Christ, born into this world. God, it's so amazing. God, we pray today as we drive home, go back to our families, maybe do some traveling, all those different things, and there's so many distractions. Not all are bad distractions. God, we pray that in those things, we take a step back, remind ourselves, our hearts, and our families of what this day is all about. We pray that we worship you in our hearts and our mouths, and as families, God, when we look to you and just marvel and praise you for the God that you are. God, we pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Can you hear the angel song that rang so sweet and clear when heaven's light and music fell and mercy found us here? Glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. Glory to God, the angels sing. He came to tell the Father's love, His goodness and His grace, to show the brightness of His smile, the glory of His face. To glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. Glory to God, your children say. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Oh, His Glory to God, the world will sing. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor.
Merry Christmas, and you are dismissed.
The glory.